Sheffield
yes,
Live.
Yes, I am.
Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Yeah, welcome to Sweet Talking Sport on Sheffield Live, the first Friday in November on 93.2 FM, also available on DAB. And without further ado, let me introduce one of the kind of soldier them, yeah, Mr. CV. How you doing, man?
Good afternoon. Nice to be back. Taking a little break.
Yeah, there was a little absence, isn't it?
Yeah.
Last week, but all refreshed, kind of like, you know, fitness tests. Past that, with flying colours. We're just missing one of the soldiers tonight. G, hope that you're listening, yeah?
Yeah, you know, sometimes...
You have to take know, five,
you
innit?
Do, you do, you do, you
and
do.
And you just have to just recover, yeah. And then when you're feeling... Chung, you just come back like that, lion.
That's right. Yeah, I agree yeah. with that. I agree with that.
You know, and you know, we'll be linking up with the captain later on. For a little footage and thing. So you know,
interesting.
Yeah, and I did say you know to the captain. Why don't you forward?
Yeah, a little invite. But you know, same now go forward. You know it's not forwarding because, you know, if anywhere income, him know, sir, tear up time.
Yeah, that captain. And for those of you out there who just needs a little translation, you're just getting teared up, like box up.
Yeah, that's right.
We put you in your box.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's getting a Joshua.
Or a Masambola Changle Wall. Woo. Yeah, so yeah, just every so often or so I'm just going to come with a different kind of story. And it's this is a true story. And for those who love weight training or bodybuilding and that, this is a true thing about a guy, Bertel Fox. In the 70s, he was kind of on the scene in a big, big way. So, like I say, without further ado, let me just kick on with the story. Roberto Fox, he actually killed two people in St. Kitts. Yeah? Released from prison 25 years later from the English government. It was a pardon, basically the pardon. It's a decision set free from all legal consequences of criminal convictions, including time done, time spent. Pardons can be granted in various ways. I'm just going to drop two on your foot. That's by the monarch or the government. They make the decision. Anyway, Bertel killed two people. Yeah. Former Mr. Olympia. But in fact, 83, let me start with that one. Everybody thought he was one of the favourites to win the show. He actually came sixth. People thought that should have been higher place. But it was Banout who actually won and took first prize. Bertel Fox was never the same person after that. I'm going to call him the fox in the box. He started to hate white people, had a thing about them, because do you know what? The judges were white. All the top bodybuilders in the magazine was white. The judges competed, and they kind of favoured other people. And so, like I said, they, you know, placed him kind of like low down. He had enough of that, and he actually retired at 42 and went back home. Home for Bertle Fox was in the St. Kitts in the Caribbean. He actually built a gym, built a nice home, set up himself in the Caribbean. But people who had relationships and knew Bertle said that he was a difficult guy. And he ended up dating a 19-year-old beauty queen, Leoka Brown, a beauty queen from St. Kitts in the Caribbean. He moved her into the house. Enough worries. He lived there for 2 years with her. And apparently, she strayed and left him. Yeah, you've got it. Left him for a white guy. Another thing to deal with. His wife left him. His girlfriend left him. This lead to Bertle getting a bit kind of paranoia, which was enough for him. It was enough to blow his mind. Fast forward now. 1987. Bertle, he gets a gun. Stay with me on this story. He gets a gun. He goes to Leoka and her mother, who was called Violet, who owned a shop that kind of stitched up clothes and made dresses and stuff like that. Bertle shoots both of them in cold blood. This is what Fox said in court. They took the gun from his home when he wasn't there. He went there and kind of like tried to get the gun back from the mother and daughter. This followed an altercation, and I shot them both by accident. Really? I mean, how can you shoot two people by accident? Originally, they sentenced him to be hanged, because that still carries hanging in St. Kitts in the Caribbean island. Yeah? So this followed an appeal, and he ended up with life in prison. 25 years later, he gets pardoned by the English government. Fox in the box. Just like, remember, like Trump, he kind of like, I think there was about 15 to 20 guys he took out of prison. And I wonder what the reason was why they pardoned the double murder. Like I said, when you talk about a pardon, it's by a governor, and you know, the government can also pardon somebody from prison in St. Kitts and Nevis. August 22, all I can see is you know, governor believed that his friend should be given a second chance. Now, you know, I get the friendship and that, but, you know, and it was very controversial in the way that Bertle got kind of like released. And then the titles, what he got was in 1976, he got the AAU, which was the Amateur and Athletic Union Mr. World champ. He was at it again in 1977, the Amateur NABBA, which stands for the National Amateur Bodybuilders Association. 78 and 79, Mr. Universe and the Professional NABBA Award went to Bertle Fox. I mean, like I said, that is a true story. But what I want to chat to you about, CV, is this guy has committed a double murder.
I know. I've just been reading about him. Right. And for me, to be given a pardon, but obviously he's been given the pardon by his brethren, hasn't he?
Yes, that's right.
It sounds
right.
Like it's his brethren. And his brethren's trying to hold up the justification by saying, listen, yeah, we know he's done wrong. We know he's took two lives. But I believe he deserves a chance, right? But what about the people, them family who him kill?
Definitely.
Are they going to get they're going to get another chance?
Yeah, there's no chance for them.
There's no chance for them.
Yeah.
As far as that's it, they're done, right? So to me, I don't agree with that, me. I don't agree that he should be let out. My man should be in the box and stay in the box.
I mean, from facing, you know, death by hanging.
Yeah.
To, okay, getting
like a life sentence
behind the bars.
Yeah.
And then we go steps, not one step, but I'm going to say steps to back living to within communities, you know? I mean, he's now living, the last time he heard, he was actually living in London, living like a normal kind of life. And it needs to be as normal as possible, because you think, you know, like you said, CV, get pardoned by his brethren and that. What a brethren that must be.
Yeah.
To see him.
Yeah.
Owes him life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
What I'm saying is, when you said it has to be kind of like, you have to keep a low profile and that. But, like I said, the people, them who him kill, for them family, if I was them, right, I'd be saying, nah, putting in some sort of junk conjunction. I mean, I know what they call it, some kind of something. Definitely say, no, I'm not in a doubt. You can't let him out.
Cartoon life.
That's right.
No matter right, is it?
That's right.
You can't bring the mother and daughter back.
Nope.
You know? I mean, the story what he cooked up was kind of like, you just knew that it was wrong. It had wrong written all over it. You know what I mean?
It was basically, be a liar. That's what you're saying. Be a liar.
100%. Yeah. I mean, to live with that kind of guilt as well, you know, he's going to have to take that to his grave. And like say, you know, there's no bringing back the two people he murdered, you know, and their families have to... That grief will never, never go away. It'll never stop, you know?
No, because at the end of the day, him take for them life, innit?
That's
him
right.
Take them life. So to me, it's like me, if anything like that happen now, I can't settle.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You can't forgive a man like that.
True.
You know the two people them, they did take their life?
Mm-hmm.
Were they of a different race?
No, there was kind of mother and daughter. It was the young girl.
What race were they?
There was black.
Okay.
There was one girl. The young girl, she was 19.
Right.
A former beauty queen, you know?
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, it's sad that he lost a wife. And then his girlfriend kind of walked out on him, and it was just like when he was into the bodybuilding scene, you know. I mean, I've seen the clips on YouTube myself, and yeah, he was kind of like looking kind of larger than life, you know.
Yeah, he, my man coming like Hulk.
yeah, cause back in the 70s when I was kind of pushing weights, I mean, you know, it's kind of like. In fact, let me give you a little joke about this, because you know Bob Wall, Robert Wall.
Yeah, Wally, yeah. Wicked piece of runner.
Well, Wally, when he was kind of like pushing the iron.
When he's on it, yeah.
I did call him the Fox.
Is it?
Yeah, because he would tick up. You know what I mean? Proper tick. And while he went into his comps and stuff, and he achieved success. He got some success on stage and that. I didn't actually see him in any competitions. But yeah, I was aware what he was doing. Because back then we were training at the YM on off Ecclesall Road. Like we lied.
Oh, Big Lied.
Big Lied was there. There was the Rhino. I don't know if you can remember that name there, Rhino. Big kind of...
No, I mean, I know...
Big kind of...
No.
Tick bodybuilder. I mean, no. Some of these guys were a call out and not around today. Stocksy was there as well.
Oh, yeah.
And the most amount of man was down there, Gifford and that. Gifford Shillington or something. And yeah, you know, if you was into them kind of things, yeah, you'd know about the Fox. But that's a kind of like story where the guy shouldn't even be living right now. But, you know.
Yeah, he's been given a blight.
A pardon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you don't really kind of hear of that, really. You know, 25 years later, his brethren saying, do you know what? Yes, Rasta, I'm going to go. I got started talk for you.
Yeah, that, and he
you
did,
know, so he owes him. He owes him that.
He definitely he has started him. It for you.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, like I said, once in a while, we're just going to come with a sporting story about some kind of, call him an icon, call him what you want, you know what I mean? But, you know, back then, he was an icon. He was big Bolcher, you know? And large all around town, everybody knew about Bertel. But you know, he had his problems, wasn't getting the accolade what he kind of like thought he should do. And not just him, but other professionals as well. Arnie was well aware of the Fox and bigged him up, so he was getting kind of like enough kind of like acknowledgement around the world, not from the UK but from America and all them kind of other places as well. Yeah. So that was just something to whet the appetite on this Friday evening, coming to 17 minutes past the hour of 6. Sunday the 10th of this month brings the Steel City Derby to Bramall Lane. Now, I'm not going to go on about the teams, what United can do or what Wednesday can do. It's not about that. It's about what the fans campaigned for to move the fixture or the kickoff time because of Remembrance Sunday. And I can remember, like, we was chatting about this, weren't we?
Yeah.
Some time ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, the official Remembrance Day is Monday the 11th.
That's correct, yep.
Of this month.
Mm-hmm.
The official Remembrance Sunday is obviously Sunday the 10th.
It's the nearest one to the 11th, isn't
it? That's correct, yeah. And then the original fixture was due to be played, the Steel City Derby, on Saturday the 9th, but... Saturday, I don't think we've seen a Saturday Steel City Derby
for years.
I couldn't remember the last time.
Nah.
And I don't even think it's going to happen again.
No.
To be honest with you.
Because the police have it control, man.
Because they look at
the situation and they think to themselves, right, we're going to have so many thousand people in a one area, right? We've also got shoppers as well. You know, people shopping and that. And then we've got the normal, what they've got to deal with on a normal Saturday. Maybe, people thieving from shops and all them kind of, you know, the norm, right? And then they've got to deal with rival fans, you know? So, I can't see ever coming back on a Saturday. No chance.
True, definitely. I mean... And it's kind of sad, really, Because, like, that was, you know, you just look forward to the 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday. You know what I mean? And yeah, then it's like, well, that's gone now. Like you said, because of the beast and that, it's easy for them to police. But like I said, it's about this particular story is about the veterans and football fans. They originally asked the organisers to move the kickoff time, you know, because of the Remembrance Day, like we've said. It was a 12. Match was due to kick off at 12 with United on Wednesday, initially scheduled, like I said, for the afternoon of the Saturday the 9th. But this was moved fairly quickly. Armed Force veteran, Sheffield United supporter, Jeff Dakin, season ticket holder as well, long life Blade fan, said his seat would probably be empty on Remembrance Sunday. I mean, you know, yes, it's some people might say, well, it's his choice, you know, if he wanted to go or not. But kicked up a fuss in the right and proper manner. And the club said that they would work together in the lead up to the fixture, with the plans being made for a ceremony prior to the kickoff. So Dakin and so many other fans got their way, and yeah, they kind of like, you could say, did the win. You know, people might say, well, yeah, you know, I was looking forward to that time. If there's a ceremony around in your city and stuff, and it's your choice if you wanted to go or not. But yeah, you know, still City Derby, and then there'll be plenty of time to discuss that fixture when it comes up.
And yeah, it's going to be a big fixture too. Yeah, it's going to be a big fixture. Yeah, because all that fixture can broke up family, you know. Yeah, can broke up family. One man is Blade, other man is Fidem, right? Yeah, can broke up family. If your wife said, nah, you know, I come back in a yard. If them lose, yeah, can broke up family and can broke up friendship too. Because me know said, when captain start,
Captain, you hear that? Yeah, I think that's probably why he's just having a little foods later on, isn't it? Just to show him fierce right now, yeah, and
you know, I'm already. Him just, him only good the pan for.
Hey, this is another story for you. I mean, I'm going to go back into this thing about Pep and England, because it's not died away. There's some more kind of like stuff what spilled over in the papers about this with Pep Guardiola, the Man City fan. You know, I'm going to say that he failed to sign the agreement. Yeah, that's how I'm going to drop this one. He was deliberating, I reckon, July and August, and I'll go further into the story in a while. One of the big writers for a magazine, 442, said that Pep was offered the job before Thomas Tuchel, which I strongly believe about that. And what happened where is that this writer writes for 442, another bona fide sporting magazine. The writer revealed that Pep Guardiola was offered the England job before the FA appointed Thomas Tuchel, but turned it down as he's still yet to decide about his future for Man City. Now, I'll go back to the story with that, but like we said, CV, I'm not sure how much Pep's on at City. Maybe you can help me out with that.
Pep?
Yeah. What do you reckon?
Pep must be around in the pan around a year.
Yeah,
I would say you go and laugh, but around 20 million.
Okay, so if we'll take that, let's just say, like, okay, Pep's on 20, and I think that the England Post was worth between 5 and 7, or even let's just put it up a notch. Let's say it's between 5 and 8. So if you're getting that amount of cash, yeah, in your account, it's highly unlikely that you'd agree to a little step down. Now,
let me just come in there. You know, just say, oh, a little step down. If a man's deep on her 20s, and then these are going to offer you like a 8. A little step down. That they're a big step down. That you know, no. And then you're going to where? You're coming from a Dan Gargan team to some what? Who are you coming to? You're coming to what? Who are you coming to? On a serious note, you're coming from the world champion them in football. Europa League, Champions League, right? Winners, win Premier League 4 times in a row. He's done all them something to come to who? Who's he coming to? To do what with who? You know what I mean? So to me, nah, he's not gonna. If in fact, if he even said that he's gonna sign a next contract. Right, I think my understanding, he was saying it was only for another year.
I mean, that kind of falls into play with this because, you know, this reporter is one of the top reporters for 442. Used to read that magazine himself, Bonafide magazine, and he said that Pep was deliberating for a couple of months at least. I'd probably put maybe July, August, with sort of like thinking it over, you know. And for me, the only reason why he didn't sign that agreement or put his name to it was because of the carnage. Now, I make this clear, it's not because like he needed the cash. But you've got to think of your family, you've got to think about, you know, the future and stuff like that. So, you know, if you want the best in the business, which it clearly is up there, you're going to have to pay for it. And England wasn't prepared to brook that bank.
Yeah, for me,
they wasn't prepared
for it. Did they have the money to pay out? If like I've just said to you, he's licking at 20 million. Where them are going to get 20 million from to pay my man? England, where are they going to get 20 million from?
I think it was obvious that Pep knew that he wasn't going to get, that they wouldn't be able to match that kind of wage.
Nah.
And I don't believe that he was looking at that. But with all due respect, I think you need to be getting up there. You know, I'm not saying that they had to match it, because like you said, and I totally agree, where they're going to justify getting that cash from, you know what I mean? But I think it would have to be a sizable salary, 100%, to justify in getting the best. So, you know, hence, like we said, that knee-jerk reaction, because we said on the show that that were Ten Hag's last game. And it was his last game. Yeah. And then, you know, obviously we said Van Nistelrooy would keep the seat warm. Mm-hmm. He might keep the seat warm.
That's right.
We said that as well.
That's right. That is
on the show last week.
Yeah, you did. Because remember though, I was thinking to myself last week, when me sit down in my mother's kitchen, and me I eat 2 hard bread. And I was thinking to myself, weird. What kind of... Is this the Man United show? Because when I was just talking via them, and you were saying about... And everything you've just said about... It's going to be his last game. And all the other stuff. And you were bang on point. Bang on point with every issue. Right? Well, like I said... No, if I was here now on that day, I would have doing some big laughing, me, you know. Some big, big, big laughing. I'd be laughing, seriously. Because that team, I think you said something about they've not been, they haven't been doing well for a while or something.
Mm.
That team hasn't done well since Father Christmas left. You know when Father Christmas... No, listen to me. You know when Father Christmas... Oh, no, all right, then. Let me just come back again for the followers, them who are listening. Right. So I'm going to come back again now, and I'm going to come back in a different cut now. So me can understand what me I say now. Now then, let me tell you something, right? You know it's when... You know it's when Ferguson left, right? When Ferguson left, that's when Man United went downhill, kid. Let me tell you. Because, and even when Ferguson were there, they were going downhill. Because, and he knew they were going downhill. That's the reason why he left. Because remember, right, we won it in 2012, City. And then they come back and won it the year after with a poor team. And then we come back and won it. And then basically after that, it were us and maybe Chelsea and Leicester. But then after that, we've just run it, dominated it after that, right? United have not been anywhere. I think the closest they've come to was they come to City and they came second. And they came second and they were at 19 points behind us second.
Mm.
So United have always been... their reign has gone. And you could see their reign had gone.
I think for me, I'd agree with you because, you know, when you said something about Fergie knew that his time was up because there were certain players coming to the end of their career at Man United, like your Scholes, your Beckhams.
Yeah.
And they all sort of matured at that particular time.
You
couldn't really replace them kind of players.
Not really.
You know, they would have to come from within the academy and know the ethos of the club and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not saying that the players that they've had since that year don't know the ethos.
Right.
But there's been some kind of like signings. Well, not some, a lot of signings.
Mm-hmm.
What just doesn't fit in.
That's right. That is correct. In.
So they've been bawling blood up the air. You know, in Old Trafford. Yeah.
Well, look. Okay. Let's look how many managers they've had. Well, you know, like
Moyes.
They've had, you know, like while my king's been at my place, right? Look how many managers they've had. They
Solskjaer.
They're now the laughing stock of Tim like Ab. How we were.
Yeah.
You've had Giggs.
Just name three there.
You've had Giggs there too.
Yeah, Giggs.
Right. You've had my man.
Did a little job.
You've had my man, Portuguese boy there, from Chelsea. Who was Chelsea? Mourinho.
Oh, Mourinho.
You had him. Right.
They even had, was at Borough now for a little bit. Only caretaker job for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Who played for them?
Yeah, I know. He was doing a decent job at Borough.
Yeah.
So,
something like six managers while Pep's been there.
Yeah, they have. They've lost their way. I mean, Moyes took a lot of stick when he took that job.
He took the stick because Father Christmas did say to him, right, so he's the man to take over Man United.
He recommended him. I remember.
He did.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember, he's going to recommend his elf, innit?
Mm.
Because Father Christmas a theme elf, and he was the elf.
And you know what? I reckon that Ferguson has got a little smile on his face because his kind of record is still intact.
It is, and very much so intact.
And he'll be having another laugh. I mean, do you know, when Ratcliffe pulled the plug on his wage the other day, I thought, yeah, because it needed to happen. And I reckon it's going to take Man United at least three seasons to even kind of get acknowledgement again in the Premier League, to be up there.
I think what Mr. Ratcliffe has done, right, if I'm being honest, by saying, okay, now, Mr. Ferguson, you have been a loyal servant to the club. Mm-hmm. You have brought, what, how can you put it? You've brought the standard, a high standard, right, to the club. You've brought fame, fortune to the club, right? You've won everything, right? But it's time for you to kind of step back a bit. Mm. Because every manager what's come in, right, they've had him on his back. He's in the stand all the time. And you've got people saying, well, when Ferguson did this, or Ferguson did that.
That's right.
Listen, let me tell you how this got, right? Mr. Ferguson still had his car park what had manager on it. Gaffer. So nobody could park in that place. How does that work?
He's not the gaffer.
He's left. He's no longer there. But nobody could park in his parking space. Right? So when you've got that big personality still there in the club, whoever comes in, they're struggling. Just remember, Mourinho, big personality.
Massive.
He won things with them. But yet, they wasn't satisfied. Mm. You've got people like Ferguson, not too happy about him, right? Scholes, not too happy about him, right? So to me, I think they did the right thing, saying to Mr. Ferguson, listen, we can't knock you for what you've done, but now it's time for you to take a little step back.
I think that that was a plan well executed from time. And I think there must have been a process behind the scene, slowly, where Ratcliffe and his kind of merry men, I saw you talk about Santa and that, you know what I mean? Would have said, listen, this is the plan, this is the process, trust the process, and we'll follow it. Because, like, slowly but surely, it's like they've reduced the age range of the players coming in. And Ten Hag was always going to get fired. It was just a matter of time. He nearly went just before pre-season, and they kept him on because he probably wasn't satisfied of who is going to be the next boss, or they probably didn't do their diligence to their full ability. But yeah, I reckon it's going to take at least minimum, I'm saying, about 3 seasons before Manchester United come back as a powerful club, you know, in the Premier. You know, when they're rubbing shoulders with the Liverpools and the Chelseas and stuff like that. They're miles off City, obviously, at the moment. But, you know, that's another story for another day with City, because obviously we don't know what's happening around the corner. But so far, I must admit, from what I've heard, from what I've seen, it's looking all right.
Well,
yeah.
I'm not going to say anything until the referee blow the whistle. So I'm not going to say anything, right? We've still got a bit of way to go before we find out the final results. But what I'm saying is, and I'll go back to what you said about Man United, you know, taking some time before they can get to us. But that's what it was like for us.
Mm.
That is what it was like for us, right? When they were dominating, that's what it was like for us. We were clearly nowhere near them, right? And that's what they've got to. They have to understand that. You see, for me, Man United fans, right? I don't want to put all of them the same, but for me, right, they live off memories, and that's the problem. They're living off too many memories, right? We're not in 1996 and that no more. We're in 2024.
So how many you know, what kind of like time frame or timeline are we talking about? What do you think before Man United start rubbing shoulders with the top?
With us.
Not just with you, with Liverpool, okay. Chelsea, okay. Newcastle.
Okay,
because I mean, where are they in the league?
They're 14th.
14th?
Yeah.
Wow. You know what I mean? So
never been. I don't think they've ever.
You know?
They haven't been down in that kind of low life, right? Oh, you're looking at. You could be all 1974 when they got relegated, when my man Dennis Law did back heel it in the net and them start ball. You know, aye, water did a flow, but me when that ball went in the net, you know, I was just laughing some big kiki. No, serious. I was just laughing.
Boy.
The biggest laughings when he put that ball in the net, right? Mm-hmm. But you know. So it go.
So how many seasons away from seeing the Manchester United what people fear?
Well, you see this guy what's coming in now from Portugal.
Johnny Young youth, isn't
he? I know he is.
He's supposed to be about 37, 38, Portuguese.
I've got to give him some props, you know.
Mm.
Because my guy is good, you know. All right, he's not, you might say, oh, well, he's not managed no big club.
Mm.
He's only managed in Portugal.
Yeah, Lisbon. Yeah,
right? Yeah, but for me, technically, he knows what he's doing. Right? And I think my man could be all right for them, you know. Especially if he brings in his players, them what he wants.
Mm.
I think he might be all right for them. Seriously, I really do. I think he might be all right for them.
Well, I mean, something's got to change. I mean, all right, Van Nistelrooy took over for a bit. Yeah, people might say, do you know what? It's only Leicester City.
But correct.
He put a smile back on the players' faces again.
He did put a smile. He did.
And that's what it's about.
But let's see if this smile going to stay there on Sunday. Is it Sunday when they play Chelsea?
Mm.
Let's see if that smile's going to stay there. Because I'm telling you, right, that's going to be a very, very difficult game for them.
Yep.
And it's at Old Trafford as well.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be a very difficult game for them.
Well, we'll see. All will be revealed. Fulham's Alex Iwobi wants to inspire the youth through his music. Apparently started rap career early this year. Iwobi released his second tune, What's Love? Iwobi has linked up with former Arsenal teammate Akpom.
Is it?
Formerly of Borough. Sheffield United was interested in Akpom,
right,
and he chose Ajax instead.
Okay.
But this is Iwobi. Listen to this, what Iwobi's saying. Alex Iwobi spitting some bars with Akpom, the two footballer them, bad pun it. Yes, Alex, we are say big man.
Ah, well, I didn't know him could I do them kind of things, me.
Deadly.
I didn't know he could do them kind of things. But you know when you say he's doing it, he's trying to do what now?
Well, he's gone into the rapping thing. You know, that's his side little kick.
So is he trying to, what is he saying? Is he trying to inspire the youth them out there?
Correct, yeah, that's right.
Well, that's good, but as long as what he's trying to inspire is positiveness. Because some of the music when me hear, some of them wouldn't call it now again. Grime, right? Why? I don't know about that, you know. Some of that grime I don't know about. Because for me, a lot of that grime seems to incite violence. That's what I think. Other people might say, no, you don't listen to it, so you don't really know. And I put my hands up and say that's true. But the little bits that I have seen, say like I've looked at it on YouTube, it just seems to be inciting violence about, oh, we've been on your turf and you ain't done nothing about it, or we've took out one of your man them, and all those kind of things. To me, it doesn't seem very inspiring. But what he might be doing might be inspiring. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I like what they've done. I mean, you know, they're not kind of like loafing about and stuff. You know, they're kind of like putting... It's like there's another life, you know, apart from football for them. You know what I mean? To keep the kind of interest up. And don't forget, these two boys was at Arsenal as well, innit? And
it's good that
they keep in touch, you know, with one another, you know? So, Alex Iwobi, like I said, has released his second track, Spitting Bars with Akpom. And that tune is called What's Love? You know what I mean? So, from saying to What's Love, to talking rugby now, 1845. So Joe Marler, being in the naughty corner, but apologises. He's been disrespectful for the hacker. Yeah, criticism. It certainly brewed up a storm before England faced New Zealand tomorrow at Twickenham. England captain admitted that Marler had poked the bear with his criticism of the All Blacks' traditional war dance, which started back in 1888, yeah? Which basically is about the pride, the strength and the unity, and the fire up the warriors on the battlefield before they go into battle. I mean, you know, I thought about this one. I mean, what's kind of worse? I mean, yeah, this should know not to be disrespectful. You know, when you see New Zealand come out, the All Blacks, they like to do that kind of, it's traditional, like I said, from back in 1889. And you get like a big marpion, like the England man, disrespecting the hacker.
Right.
Where's it going with that? You know what I mean?
To be fair, I hadn't really heard about this, so this is like news to me. So basically what you're saying to me, this England, is he a forward, I take it?
Is a prop.
Right,
yeah,
okay. He's a prop. This guy has basically said, has kind of run down the ACA.
Yes,
because basically correct. What he's saying is that, he don't really rate it, like, he's not bothered about it. Is that what he's trying to say?
Yes.
Right? And so he's giving it no respect.
He's dissed it completely.
Right.
I mean, sometimes you think, what's worse? Is it, you know, there was a big story about Carsley not kind of like
singing for
chatting out the anthem and
that's
that.
That's right, that's do, right. Do you know what I mean? Right, yeah.
So, I mean, this guy should be held to task. You know what I mean? You don't hear nothing like he's being fined or anything like that. I mean, in sport, you talk about being respectful for your opposition and stuff. And
you
showing,
do.
Showing you do. That kind of respect.
You do.
Yes, I get it with the gamesmanship and stuff.
Right.
But you know what? The England captain is just as bad coming up with them kind of cuts as well. He's poked the bear.
Especially.
You know what I mean?
Especially, he's in a role. He's in a privileged role. He's the captain of England, right? And he's saying them kind of things. For me now, you know, if I'm the manager,
mm-hmm.
I'm taking him to task. Because I'm saying, listen, we're already going to have a tough time. We're playing them at home. You've now riled them up now. You've given them more reasons now to want to tear we up. Right? So, for me, I'd be saying to him, listen, you don't need to be saying anything, right? Well, you know.
He's apologising. People used to say, you know, people might say, do you know what, you should just give him a blaze, he's apologised. But he apologised because he had to apologise.
He didn't really, he hadn't really meant that. He's just done that to make things cool.
What he said that the hacker should be scrapped.
Yeah.
Shocking. Yeah. Absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
If you come up with them kind of like lyrics there, this big Friday evening.
It should be scrapped. Okay.
I tell you what, that should just give them that inspiration and to be fired up.
That's what I've just said.
To brook two backside. you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So, hell, I'll go kick up Twickenham tomorrow.
Yeah, because I mean,
then I go brook them up.
You don't need to be, right, giving your opposition more fuel, right, to come out. Remember, you're playing them at home as well. So the most of the crowd is going to be on their side. And you're coming out with foolishness about it should be scrapped.
I tell you what, when they bust that Acker tomorrow, you watch the camera, will focus on that dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, Carl?
Yeah.
You know, so them, they love a story. Yeah? They kept, you know, the camera is just going to focus on Joe Marler. And let's see if there's any kind of like any kind of like pundit what will bring it up to. You know what I mean? Because I reckon that Joe Marler is gonna get licked from all kind of angles tomorrow.
Yeah.
What I mean?
If I was one of them man then now.
Oh, you're brooking him up.
One of them New Zealand man then me. I'm going up in nine fierce. I'm going in nine fierce. And me, I do for me big hacker in nine fierce. You know what I mean? Yeah, right up in nine fierce. And then when him start, look for me and say, yeah. Wait, game no start yet.
I think they will do, you know. One of them players will. Because they'll all be aware of it, of what he said. Do you know what I mean? And they're going to make him pay. You know what I mean? Because that...
I would.
That'll just be the spark... But like the bonfire, big.
That's right. That's right, yeah. I agree with that.
I mean, All Blacks are obviously... I'm saying obviously. I mean, should I say obviously? I've said it, so I'll say it again. All Blacks are obviously favourites to win. I mean, they've had a bit of a dip recently.
They have, I think. Didn't Australia beat them?
They've won three, lost three of the last six games. But it came back big time and crushed Japan 64-19 last time out. England's matches whilst on tour, New Zealand and Japan ended in defeats for the coach, Steve Brothwick.
So they haven't even won one yet?
I think they've won. I just, you know, when I'm just looking at this, I just got a quick little flavour of what it's about and who's causing up the most amount of noise and stuff like that, yeah? But going into, you know, last sort of like 8 minutes of the show, this was a story I wanted to just kind of like say to one of the, going into ice hockey, talking about a Panthers player, Adam Johnson. It was just over a year ago since he lost his life. Last October, following being hit in the neck by an opposition player, which was Matt Petgrave, who obviously plays this trade for the Sheffield Steelers. Now, when Adam arrived at hospital, he was pronounced dead, unfortunately, and 8,000 fans was asked to leave the stadium. Proceedings shouldn't have taken this long. You know, what on earth? Again, we talk about families. What are they going through? You know, we've talked about the families and the cousins and the extended families of Bertel Fox's victims. You know, well, just kind of like spare a thought also as well for Adam Johnson's family as well. I mean, you know, yes, you know, as sad as it is, but, you know, for God's sakes, it shouldn't really go on this long, should it? You know, Matt Petgrave has been given bail again. And I think faces 11th of November.
So are they charging him for murder? Or are they charging him for manslaughter?
It'd be manslaughter, if anything.
Okay.
Yeah,
because it'd be manslaughter. Because it was an accident.
Well, it could have been, do you know when
Because I don't know a great deal about it, to be fair.
Because they can face off and lick each other, innit? Take off the glove them and,
okay,
and all that kind of stuff.
All right.
I don't think it was a one-on-one like that, but just kind of like reading between the lines could be right there. But, you know, I'll grab a little bit more on that story and come with it again next week, you know? But, yeah, definitely we're looking at, like, a manslaughter thing. It's going to be difficult to sort that one out. But another kind of, like, really kind of, like, sad story. It's like arrested on suspicion of manslaughter following the death of Nottingham ice hockey player Adam Johnson. Had been bailed by the police. Panthers player Johnson suffered a fatal neck injury from skate during a collision with Sheffield's Matt Petgrave. As I said earlier on, the 29-year-old was taken to hospital on the 28th of October, where he was pronounced dead. A post-mortem examination confirmed that he died as a result of a neck injury. So if we're saying that it's kind of like looking at manslaughter rather than murder, may not be looking like an accident, you know?
It's one to watch out. I don't know a great deal about it. I've just heard, so I don't really like to say things that I don't really know too much about. So
fair dues with that one. Dipping into the football round, obviously we've discussed Ruben Amorim, the Portuguese, signed a contract until June the 27th. It's not that long, really.
Not really.
Do you know what I mean? So,
not really. Not,
you know,
really.
Whether that's Ratcliffe's policy that any new manager will get couple of seasons,
yeah, so they can see what
it's about, mm-hmm. And then we'll reassess when it's appropriate. So good luck to Ruben, and you're saying that is going to be a good thing for Manchester United.
I believe so, because my man's not bad. He's not bad.
Do you know? I mean, he's not played many times for his country. I'm not saying that you have to, you know, play woolly, you know what I mean, to be
a good manager.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Look, Klopp. Klopp named player for, he never played for Germany.
That's a good shout. He was a
dangerous manager.
Yeah, rate him high.
Rated high. So you've got to say. I mean, fair enough, not every manager's like Pep. Pep did play for his country quite a few times, right? And he's been and he's turned out to be a good manager. But, you know, I believe this guy, he's going to be all right, you know. He's going to be all right.
I mean, you know, looking at the time, we kind of ran out of the minutes again. But just shows
quick time this deals with
2 minutes. Yeah. Okay, we've got we're just going to fly through these. Bournemouth against Manchester City. Bournemouth can win more than what, 3 out of the opening games in 10. Let me say that again. Bournemouth can win this since what, 2018, 2019, 3 of the opening 10 games. So if they win, you know, they've busted another milestone. But Man City unbeaten in 21 matches against Bournemouth. Very, very difficult tie, that one. Like we said, we're running out of time very quickly. You go into the Newcastle and Arsenal game.
The Newcastle and Arsenal game, right? Type game. But I can see Arsenal just pipping that. Now, I didn't say what was going to happen with Bournemouth and City. I'd expect City to win, but we've got a lot of injuries. Right, let's move on to the next bit.
So, we'll dip into the Championship quick time then. United away at Blackburn. Again, I'll call this a draw. I think they'll be happy to come away with a draw at this one. Very, very kind of like tough game.
Yeah, I would say United might pip it 1-0.
I hope so. But I think they'll probably struggle to score, to be honest with you. But yeah, could be one goal in it. Owls against Watford.